And good afternoon, Xbox Nation. Welcome to this week's new episode of X Vlog Live. I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick XL. And today, folks, we get a chance to sit down with not only an amazing YouTuber, I like to call him Mr. Bethesda because, well, heck, he knows everything here, there, and everywhere about Bethesda and what they're doing and some of the things that they have not talked about. But more importantly, we got the thumbs up, or I should say we. He got the thumbs up to talk about a game that he is working on with former Bethesda developers on a new company, on a new AAA IP. We're going to get into what it is, what we can expect from it. Is it going to be like Elder Scrolls on crack, if you will? We're going to learn all of that, but we're also going to be talking about a monster rumor running around that was brought to my attention by several people in the community. So shout out to anyone that DMs me with this stuff. Anyone know, a small YouTuber named ACG? I know him. He's a really cool. Jeremy's a good dude. It like it is. Yeah, he's as real as they come, which is why he's closing in on 1 million subscribers, folks. I mean, think about that for a second. I'm sitting at 12 and I feel like I've accomplished something. That dude is going to be hitting potentially 1 million subscribers by the end of the year. Well deserved. He had put out, it's just his opinion. He thinks that the unannounced game from In Exile, because they're working on several. We know that they're working on a AAA first person shooter kind of a game. And we also know that there's another project. Well, according to an article that I'm going to read verbatim, that second IP is based on an established Xbox IP. Now, Jeremy, or ACG as you know him, called out that he thinks it's a good shot that we could get. I'm gonna give you all the information. Let's get into the introductions first. Skullzy, welcome back, dude. It is so great to have you here. So great to see that you're up and around. I know your health was a concern. You had put it out there in the socials that you were really concerned with, you know, some things personally. But it's so good to have you here. How are you feeling, dude?
Hey, man. I'm so glad to be back. I'm feeling great, actually. Things are going well. Got better news than I was expecting regarding the health stuff. Still got a road to climb, but nothing too worrisome, so it'll be all good. My main concern right now is I'm super sunburned, so that's a worry I can handle, but I'm super excited to be here, really excited to talk about the topics today, including Wayward Realms, so hopefully this can get some people excited for what we got cooking behind the scenes over at Once Lost. So thanks again for inviting me on, and hello to the chat and everyone watching. Hopefully you enjoy the show.
Yeah, it's absolutely. And we're actually going to get into that on the back end of the show, because there really is a lot to get into. Okay, so I want to pull up the article, which I have in front of me. This was written by Gaming Bolt. It was posted on April 17th, which is just the other day. And the headline title, folks, is In Exile Entertainment is seemingly working on a new game of an established IP for Xbox. Now, ACG, like I was telling you before, put out a tweet, and he basically said, my bets are on Shadowrun. Now, Shadowrun, for me, doesn't really strike a chord, because the last time that I played Shadowrun was on the Nintendo, which was when it was on cartridge. It was an RPG. I tried it again. If you remember, I'm pretty sure it was the Xbox One generation. There was a first-person multiplayer version of Shadowrun. And then they released a trilogy, an HD trilogy of the original games. But okay, so Skullzy, when you say Shadowrun, right? It's an established IP, sure, right? I'm sure that there are a lot of people in this chat, and folks, I'm going to throw up a poll in a hot second, asking you whether or not this is something that you want in your lives. Do you need a new Shadowrun? Because one of the things, Skullzy, that has come to fruition with Microsoft's recent acquisitions is, without you know, trying to put Microsoft or Xbox on a pedestal yet, because we need games in order to do that, and they are coming, folks. They have seemingly, Skullzy, become the Western RPG powerhouse. I mean, Fable is being done by Playground Games, right? You also have Bethesda, who, of course, you're Mr. Bethesda. We know what they're working on. They're working on Starfield, right? Redfall, even though it's not an RPG, is that's coming in a couple of weeks. You have Elder Scrolls. You have Fallout. So you have monster and mammoth RPGs. And one of and you know what? I'm sorry. I almost left off the sleeping dog. And that's Obsidian Entertainment. My God, how did I almost forget Obsidian? All you have to do is look at their past work and be like, yeah, I'm excited for Avowed. I know that they're going to deliver. But when you say those three, almost like half the time, people forget that In Exile is a part of Xbox Game Studios, Skullzy. And this is an RPG maker that has the chops, that has the talent, that has the experience. And I'm going to be honest with you. If it's Shadowrun, awesome. Is it going to be a game for me? I don't know. But if it's not, it's going to be a game for somebody, because Shadowrun is a legendary IP. I kind of want to flip and take my own point of view here. I want to pull an ACG on today's show. My bet, and again, I'm no ACG, folks. Nearly a million subscribers to 12K. We're on two spectrums, but I'm going to pull an ACG, folks. My guess, and this is just my opinion, I don't have any connections, it's not Shadowrun. It's not. It's Fallout. Now, the question is, Skullzy, which Fallout? Because the current leads at In Exile made Fallout 1 and 2 the OG ones. They're beloved. They're classic. And people have been calling for a return to that type of Fallout in modern day. So I don't think it's Shadowrun. And it's not because I'm saying that ACG is wrong. That guy knows everything. I'm just saying that I'm playing it up here to have some little fun and suggest that it may not be Shadowrun. At least I don't think it is. I think that it's Fallout. What are your thoughts on this?
So if someone was going to be doing a Fallout, In Exile is a perfect choice, right? It's either them or Obsidian for anyone other than Bethesda. So I would love more Fallout, because we all know how Bethesda is. They take forever, you know, to make their games, which, you know, isn't necessarily a jab in their side, because their games are huge. Their games like that take a long time to make, which I would know firsthand because I'm developing something along the same scale. But my only main concern with this is the one thing that would stop another studio like In Exile from doing a Fallout game would be Todd Howard. If it wasn't for that IGN interview a couple of years ago, forgive me for not remembering the exact date, I would be a little bit more hopeful about this. But now I'd say I'm about 50-50, because when Ryan McCaffrey asked Todd Howard if he would be willing to hand Fallout off to another studio so they can do something like New Vegas or maybe a different Fallout style adventure, Todd didn't seem like he was all that open to it. But there is one thing about that, and, you know, say what you will about Ryan McCaffrey, all due respect to the guy, he's well known in the gaming industry, does a lot of good stuff, he's worked hard, he's been around for a while, so, but the way he asked that question really grinds my gears, because he didn't ask Todd Howard, would you be willing to allow another studio to do another one-off Fallout? He said, would you be willing to hand Fallout off to another studio? And that, you could just look at Todd Howard's reaction in that interview. He was caught off guard by that. Hand Fallout off to someone else? No, sir. No way. Bethesda loves Fallout. They're very, very proud that they got the rights to the game and they're able to, you know, make their own creations into that amazing universe and franchise. So, but I still think the cards are on the table for another studio to do a Fallout game. Is it An Exile? Is it going to be maybe Obsidian or something? It's hard to tell. I would put my chips on the table more towards An Exile than Obsidian, because Obsidian has their own stuff going on, right? They have the Outer Worlds, they have Avowed, and even though the Outer Worlds is a space, you know, RPG, more or less, it's got those Fallout vibes. There's definitely a lot of stuff you can pick up on,
and especially in the MPG, the characters and the team members you add, it does scream Fallout.
Definitely. And if I was a game studio like Obsidian, I would rather make my own IP that I can own 100% of the rights to than take time away from my two IPs, Avowed and Outer Worlds, to do a Fallout game. Now, that doesn't mean that the staff over at Obsidian would like it, because a lot of them are, you know, the original, they've worked on the original Fallouts, same with In Exile. They're kind of sprinkled in between those two studios. But at the end of the day, I think Obsidian would stick to what they have in-house rather than do something out of house. But In Exile is the anomaly here that could definitely be the one to do this. Now, if they did a Fallout game, the next question is, would it be the same Fallout, the same modern-style Fallout? Or is it going to be going back? Yeah. If they go back to the over-the-top style, that could be interesting, because that style of RPG has been making a comeback lately in this generation of gaming. So with things like Baldur's Gate and even indie RPGs, so... That over the top, not quite isometric, but kind of bird's eye, you know, view. I'm not sure what the exact term is. I should probably know this as a game developer, but whatever. but that style of RPG is making a comeback, and I would love to play a Fallout like that again, because every couple of years I go back to Fallout 1 and 2 just for the nostalgia, just for that play style, because it's a different beast than first person in the world. Running around, you know, as doing what the person would see, shooting like you would in the first person shooter. It's a little bit of a different RPG style. So going back to the over the top stuff, the borderline isometric or whatever it is, would be an interesting new adventure in the Fallout universe. And it would bring the new fans of Fallout, those who aren't old enough to remember the old games or who haven't played them or maybe aren't into those types of games. It would bring the new modern Fallout fans in, and it would capture the older Fallout fans looking for a piece of that nostalgia pie again. So I think it would be a win-win situation if they did it. But to go back to my original point, it's all up to Daddy Todd Howard. You know, is he going to allow his child to go stay at Grandpa in Exiles for a year or two, or is he gonna be the overprotective parent of the franchise, which we do get some vibes on that he might be. So it's hard to tell what it's going to be right now. ACG's the man. You know, he's a great
content. He certainly is. Yeah.
His reviews are amazing, and he gets information right more than he gets it wrong. So a Shadowrun would be cool, because I love Shadowrun. Shadowrun's like a great mix of like sci-fi modern style with the fantasy races like orcs and goblins. So I love Shadowrun. I've been playing Shadowrun tabletop games, video games too. So I would be happy with either one, but for the Fallout fans, because they've been waiting in a literal apocalypse of Fallout content, I'd be more than happy for it to be Fallout so I could enjoy it, and so the Fallout fans could get a piece of that pie, because who knows when Fallout 5 is coming out, right? We have Starfield coming out in September 9th, finally, and then we have the Elder Scrolls 6 coming out at some point in time after that. Yeah. Fallout 5, very well, we could be looking at 2028, 2030, who even knows? So I think Todd Howard might start to realize, you know, why not just let someone else throw a random Fallout game in there? And I'll say this as a final point, so I'm not taking up the entire talking time. It would make a lot more sense for an Exile to do an over-the-top style Fallout game like the older ones than it would for them to just piggyback on the style that Bethesda has set with the first-person / third-person style, because Todd Howard would probably be more receptive to allowing a Fallout game they would never make in that style to be out there as like a one-off type thing than he would, let's say, like another New Vegas, to where it is literally the Bethesda Fallout. It's just someone else making it. So yeah, I've heard the rumors of Fallout in Exile for over a year now, and I'm not the only one. So it's hard to really pinpoint how much accuracy there is in that, because there's no real tangible evidence to support it other than people hearing things, and a lot of these people, you know, they tend to hear correct stuff. So I would love it. I would absolutely be over the moon for a Fallout from an Exile. So only time will tell. But the fact that we're talking about this and instead of having to wait for Fallout 5 is good enough.
You know, I'll say this. There comes a point, and we know Todd Howard is a magnificent leader. Like, the guy really knows his business. He has a passion that is literally second to none. Like, when you hear him out there and he's on stage in his leather bomber jacket that he's known for being in, it brings a smile to my face because he is who exactly we think he is, and we know that he is going to put the gamer's interest first and foremost, right? Put his best foot forward. There is something to be said about taking on too much, even as good as a leader as he is. Now, granted, Pete Hines, who runs the ship, is awesome as well. But, you know, they're doing the final prep for the launch of Starfield, right? You know that they're probably in some sort of a pre-production with Elder Scrolls, right? And it's safe to assume that they are potentially midway through where he took the lead with Machine Games for Indiana Jones. So that's three AAA monster-sized titles. To suggest that Fallout 5 would come anywhere before 2030 would be is too much to ask for one team, because they have a lot of teams, but for one producer in Todd Howard to handle. It's too much. I like your idea of In Exile taking the isometric version, their version, their story, not based on New Vegas, not based on Fallout 4, but taking their own story, their own region of the world. Maybe it's Fallout Japan. Maybe it's Fallout, Korea. Maybe it's Fallout Russia. I mean, Russia probably wouldn't be the one that they go to because of the bad press, but I'm just saying that they could find another region in the world outside of the Americas to tell their isometric story. You know what's interesting? One of the games, Mrs. Boom and I, we love these isometric type games. We're literally, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 hours from getting our final achievement for Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 1. We did it. We got all the achievements for 2. We played all of the new, and again, this is not new now, but it's old. We played all of the reimagined, God, what was the name of the game? What was the top-down game that used to have to eat the meat and Red Elf is about to die? That was from Midway. What the hell was the name of that game?
Gauntlet. Yeah.
Yes. So we played all of the reimagined gauntlets that were the isometric ones. I actually just pulled out one. Speaking of which, do you remember a game called Fallout Brotherhood of Steel on the OG Xbox?
Oh yeah, yeah.
We played that. We must have beat it about half a dozen times. An amazing game. I looked at it right now. It's $150 for an OG Xbox game. I believe we still actually have that in storage somewhere. I'd have to find it, but yeah, I really like the idea. And again, Shadowrun, it might excite a lot of people, Scalzi. It doesn't really do it for me because I don't have an affinity for the IP as others do. But I think there's something to be said about potentially, and Idle Sloth, if you're listening and you sloth me, please let them know that I don't have any connections. This is just my opinion. I don't have it on good authority. I just literally think that if there is an established IP that is going to be taken on by In Exile, it is going to be Fallout, and it's going to be the Fallout that you discussed, that isometric old school one, which is making a big comeback. So I think that there's something to be said about it. I really hope that, in fact, is the case. I think that we are going to be very surprised in a couple of months during the Microsoft, which is not, it's the E3 that's not the E3. Microsoft and Bethesda showcase, I think we're going to be blown away. I don't think they're going to ever go back to the 12-month thing that a lot of people didn't like. I was one of them. I didn't like that because it painted them into a corner, kind of got them in trouble, especially this year. Hopefully, they'll just do a traditional showcase where they show us games that are coming, show us games that we know about, i.e. Avowed, potentially Fable. So get us a big blowout on Motorsport, get a release date for that, and a few other, maybe a surprise or two, and then show us what's going on in the future. You know, let us know what you're working on. Let's peek behind the curtain just to, and again, I don't have a problem with the CG trailers, folks. It's fine. If there's no gameplay, that's okay. It just gives you an ideology of what's coming. That's good enough for me. But I like what you're putting down here, Skulls. Yeah, I think there is something to be said about a world needing a Fallout, and some people will push back on that with me. Then, well, boom, they have Fallout 76. Not for me. That's not the kind of Fallout that I want to play, which is why I don't play Elder Scrolls Online. I downloaded it. I literally just downloaded it. I'm like, if people say you can play this in single player, and I want to give it a shot. And there's just too many games. There's just not enough time, to be honest with you. So I downloaded it probably for no reason, because I don't know if I'm going to get into it. But when the new Elder Scrolls comes out, Elder Scrolls 6, I'm in. I'm in all the way. Let me catch up with some of the Super Chats. I got quite a few of them in here, Skulls. And then we're going to get into what you're currently doing, because it's very interesting to know you're currently working with developers that worked at Bethesda, that had this passion, that had this idea, that had this blueprint of how they want to tell their Elder Scrolls-esque story. And we're going to get into that in a second. First Super Chat of the day comes to us from Nine Runner. That's a very generous $5 Super Chat, and says, In Exile's parody videos are the perfect source material for them to be the ones to reboot Conquer. I think you're onto something. I would love, that would be so wacky, right? Like In Exile rebooting Conquer. Oh, I mean, their videos are just hilarious. If you ever watched any of In Exile stuff, their marketer, their marketing team, give those folks a raise, because they're amazing. He goes on to say, in a meta adventure across the multiverse of Xbox IP. Somebody hire this man, please, because I like what he's putting down. That sounds like a game that I would definitely subscribe to. Let's see. We also have another Super Chat coming in from, let me see. Okay. Dreadful Sean. Hey, Sean, how you doing, brother? Good morning. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for being here. He drops a $5 Super Chat and says, I hope In Exile is doing a remake of Fallout 1 and 2 in the Wasteland engine. That would be fire. I mean, you just never know, right? Like, I mean, Fallout 1 and 2, they're old. And if they were to remake those, dude, that would, you know, I had a thought before. It popped out of my head, and it popped in thanks to Dreadful Sean. You know, there's a lot of talk, Skullzine, about Xbox making a push for PC, like making PC a priority. You've heard that with a lot of Xbox gamers in the last couple of weeks. I didn't have it on the list of topics, but I want to get your personal thoughts on that as we still keep with what In Exile is doing, because In Exile, as great as they are, they're more known on PC than they are on console. Right. And their games will obviously come to console, but they're known. They're a PC maker. It makes perfect sense as to why ABK is so important to Microsoft. Again, Call of Duty, it's fine. It's a big IP. Great. It makes a lot of money. Awesome. That's not where ABK's Phil and Satya and the rest of the crew are focused on. They're focused on specifically mobile, I think, is the real get here. But I think PC, there's something to be said about the push for PC and to be relevant in that arena for Microsoft and for Xbox. And this is why they went out and strategically picked some of these studios. But it's why they want Blizzard. Blizzard is PC. PC is Blizzard. Do you kind of feel like that Microsoft might have put the cart before the horse, so to speak, when you talk about Xbox? Because a lot of people are feeling that way.
Yeah, so Microsoft, they tend to be a little bit ahead of the curve, right? That over the years, they've pushed for things that weren't really accepted at the time, but eventually became the norm, like the Xbox One with its like media content, to where you can, watch Netflix, you can do whatever, watch TV on it. So for the longest time now, I've been saying, and other people have been saying, that consoles are slowly, slowly fading away. And I don't mean fading away as in they're less popular. I mean, it's getting to the point now to where, like, the Xbox Series X it runs on Windows. Like, it has a lot of similar architecture with the PC anyway. And I think that I don't know when it's going to be, 10 years from now, maybe more, maybe less, but eventually, consoles are just going to be a different version of a PC. Now, it could be Microsoft is using their crystal ball. They're pondering the orb, like that meme, and it's trying to see into the future a bit so they can get ahead of this switch, this push to PC focus. But I'm picking up on those vibes too. It seems like they're trying to maybe not necessarily make PC the priority, but they're trying to make it more of a priority. Because for the longest time, I've been gaming forever, like since the Atari and the original Nintendo, and so I've been around for a bit. Consoles were kind of the thing for gaming. When people talked about gaming, they usually were talking about a console they had, and PC gaming's been around for just as long, if not longer, obviously. But at the end of the day, most gamers, like 10 years ago or more, it's usually been console centric. Not so much anymore because PCs are becoming a lot more interchangeable now. You can cross play on PC with Xbox. You can do a lot of the parts are more, I say this saying the parts are more affordable, but they're also not because of chip shortages and other things. But that might change. That's a whole nother can of worms I'm not going to interact with. But PCs are definitely becoming a lot more common, especially with the cost, right? Because a lot of the modern consoles, like the Xbox Series X and stuff, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe they're sold at a loss. I don't think that Microsoft makes much profit, or at least they didn't at first, from the Xbox Series X, because they want you to buy the consoles, so then you'll buy the games and then you'll buy the other stuff. Now, PCs aren't that way. PCs, Microsoft is Xbox and Microsoft is Windows. So they can push either one of those. They can push PC or they can push console, and it's going to be a win for them. But if we look at like the chart here of who's ahead of the other one, I would still say console's ahead of PC. So it could be they're trying to just equalize it a bit, or it could be they are truly trying to push a focus more on PC. It's hard to tell right now, but those are the vibes I'm picking up on. I'm picking up, yes, PC is going to be more of a focus for a bit. I don't know what that's going to mean in the future. People who primarily play on consoles are probably hearing that and shaking in their boots right now. Don't worry. Consoles aren't going to go anywhere soon, but I do foresee a future to where consoles aren't the main squeeze anymore. They're just a secondary option for people that would rather play on the couch than sit in an office chair and play on the PC. And there's ways of playing PC games on your couch too, with streaming the game directly to a smart TV or to your Xbox, or there's a very it's an interesting future that we're kind of just now seeing the cusp, the beginning of. So yeah, I agree. I think PC's starting to get more of a focus, but I don't know exactly what that's going to mean for gaming as a whole quite yet. I think we just kind of have to sit and see how the dust settles. I primarily play on PC though, mostly just because I work on a PC. So, it's if I have a good editing PC, it's also going to be very good at playing games. So it's just, it's one and one for me. But that doesn't mean that I don't enjoy sitting on a couch, kicking back, not having to sit like this, and, in front of my computer and bend over. And it's just more comfortable to hang on a couch. But yeah, Microsoft, they tend to be a little bit ahead of the curve here. I just hope that it works out for them this time more than it did when they tried to push the whole media functionality of their previous consoles, because that was a kind of a big PR blow for them, when people were like, "Oh, you're not focusing on gaming. You want me to watch sports on my Xbox. You want me to have all these other apps." But now there's TVs that literally have that kind of stuff built into it. So clearly they knew what they were doing back then. It's just the community wasn't ready for it yet. And this is similar to the all digital talk, right? A lot of game developers, studios, companies like Xbox, Sony, they're trying to go all digital, but it didn't work out a while ago. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. You know, there's, I don't think physical games are going to go away forever, but we're slowly seeing major changes in multiple ways in gaming and in entertainment, just with cloud and the accessibility of internet more all over the world. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how stuff changes.
Yeah, I agree. I want to see a world where, and I think we're starting to see that, Skolzy, where they're starting to blur the lines. Like, PC is Xbox, Xbox is PC. And I think that, you know, with the addition of Blizzard, we're going to see that, again, PC is a market that they want to be a part of. They want to be an important part of PC, just like they want to be an important part of the mobile market, which is what they're working on by acquiring Blizzard and King. The Activision, acquisition simply, I'm wrong. There's going to be nothing wrong with being able to slap Call of Duty on the artwork of your console. That's going to be huge. And it's going to make these things fly. Whatever they're selling with that on there is going to make it fly off the shelf, whether that be the next Xbox, whether that be the streaming box that they've been talking about that's in active development, or even the artwork on your next Samsung TV, you know, because they have a marketing with Samsung. We know that they work together, and there's going to come a point, Skolzy, where on every Samsung TV or every LG TV, there's going to be the Xbox logo. There's going to be Call of Duty play on Xbox Game Pass, and it's going to move everything together. But I put a poll, folks, in the chat, and I'm going to take a look and see what it is right now. I ask you, do you feel that Xbox is making more of a push for PC relevance than the Xbox platform? So one of the answers was, yes, I feel like they aren't seeing me. That is 38%. But the other side of that coin is, no, Xbox is working just fine. And that's at 61%. So many people in the chat feel that Xbox is doing a fair job. And I'd have to agree with that. I don't feel like Xbox is not listening, but I wanted to put it out there and let the people get involved with the polls. Shout out to Pong Saul. I'm going to throw his comment up on there right now. He says, Shadowrun equals cyberpunk, but includes elves, dwarves, orcs, and magic. Would be amazing to have In Exile make one. Because, you know, Pong Soul's a big cyberpunk dude. So, yeah, I mean, listen, if they want to bring back a new IP or if they want to bring back an old school IP in a new way, I think there's no better studio than In Exile to take on that task. I'm going to be honest with you. Again, there is some talk that we could potentially see what they're working on this June of their first person AAA game. I hope that, in fact, is the case. I'd love to see what they're doing. I'd also like to get an update on some of the things that we know. But, folks, listen, as we close in on 400-plus people here, I want to once again thank Skolzy TV for joining me for XVlog Live. You know, obviously, this is one of the shorter programs, about 70 minutes or so. But I really want to get into what you have been up to. Now, you know, I I'd like you to break it down as to who you're working with, where they came, what is their backgrounds, you know, what led you to them and them to you, and let's talk about the game. You did have to get some authorization on some of the things you said, and I didn't set up questions because, you know, me and Skolzy have a good relationship, so we don't really need that. Skolzy, I'm gonna let you take it away, brother, and feel, by all means, don't feel like you gotta, you know, get off the gas. We want to know what you're working on, and more importantly, how that came to be.
Yeah, okay. So I'm working at Once Lost Games, right? We're kind of we're basically an indie studio, I guess you can consider us. But we're made up of what I consider industry legends. So I work with the original creators of the entire Elder Scrolls franchise. These guys sat down years ago and they created and wrote the lore for the franchise that everyone knows and loves now. They're the OGs of Elder Scrolls, and they've worked on many, many other amazing games. Ted Peterson, Julian Lefay, these guys were the OG Bethesda back in the day. Ted Peterson and all of them, they shared a room with Todd Howard. So this is before Todd was the Todd we know and love now. So they kind of stepped out of Bethesda for other things to work in the film industry and other games and stuff. Some of them around Morrowind, some around Oblivion, but they decided to get back into it with Once Lost Games because, all due respect to Bethesda, you know I love Bethesda, so this isn't a negative take, but Bethesda tries to make some of their more recent RPGs a bit more, I wouldn't say accessible, I wouldn't say dumbed down, but I would say simplified a bit, right? You're not looking at character sheets and a whole bunch of numbers moving around. Now, our game, The Wayward Realms, is going to have a lot more depth to it. It's going to be the style of RPG you would know and love from Bethesda, but it's going to be what we consider to be the spiritual successor to Daggerfall. Daggerfall utilized a lot of procedural generation to create a massive world, and you can go anywhere in this world, and you can do almost anything that you can think of. We're trying to take that feeling back, that sense of scope, that sense of freedom, and that sense of depth, and combine it all into one project, The Wayward Realms. In terms of how I met these guys, before I get into some more information about the game itself, naturally, when I heard about this project, I was interested in it. So I started covering it on my YouTube channel, super, super hyped for it, because we don't see too many Elder Scrolls-like games. You know, we see some now, but I don't want to use the Elder Scrolls comparison too much, but it's just the best terminology I can use for people to make a comparison with. So I started covering it on my channel, and I reached out to them because they have an amazing Discord where the community can actually join in on the conversation, and the developers will actually communicate with the community and take some of their considerations and input and actually put them into the game. We've had the community name some characters and stuff like that. So I joined over there and I asked to interview Ted. You know, so I interviewed Ted Peterson, one of the original creators of the Elder Scrolls. I was a little starstruck because I'm talking to someone that sat down years ago and thought up all the stuff of the Elder Scrolls, which is just nuts to fathom. And he wrote for one of my favorite shows, Bones, too. But anyway, we talked. He interviewed me. I interviewed him, asked him about the game, his experience in the industry and other stuff. And we kind of hit it off. We kind of got along. So he knew I was a chef in the past. And obviously, I'm a gamer and I have a passion for cooking and gaming. So he decided to take me on to help write some of the background lore for food, ingredients, recipes, flora, fauna, and stuff like that in the world.
That is awesome.
Oh yeah, it was a dream come true when it happened. My first meeting, I had huge imposter syndrome going on. I was like, man, I'm in a meeting with these amazing people, but you know, I guess they must have liked the stuff I came up with because they took me on as a normal actual staff writer. And now I help kind of, I'm not necessarily the head writer, but I help organize and run meetings for writers and stuff like that. So I've moved up a bit, and man, every single meeting I have with these people, it's like I'm hyped for this game and I'm working on it. So to give you a little bit of information about the Wayward Realms, it's your fantasy RPG that you would expect, right? First-person fantasy RPG where you get to live the life you want to live, be the person you want to be, have the adventures you want to have, and the entire time we have something called the Virtual Game Master, which I can only talk a little bit about, but basically the VGM, the Virtual Game Master, will kind of pay attention to what the player does and feed them content that the game thinks they will enjoy. So if you like to steal, if you go around stealing from people, if you're a little shady McShadester, you're probably going to get a little bit more thievery aligned quests and stuff like that. But of course, if you decide you want to go out and adventure and start killing people with swords, you know, that's all available for you as well. It's going to have a lot of the depth that I would say some modern RPG fans are craving. So nothing against modern RPGs. There's plenty out there with some depth, but in terms of people that like the Bethesda style RPGs, this is going to be that, but with a lot more depth. So if anyone's played Daggerfall, you kind of know what I'm talking about. And when I say procedural generation, I want to clarify something here because No Man's Sky has seemed to change the definition of what procedural generation is.
Indeed.
It's not going to be a different game for for everybody. It's not going to be the world is different for you. It's different for me. It's different for that guy. It's going to be the same world. We're just using procedural generation to fill aspects of the world and give you content as you play. So yes, the play experience will be different from player to player based on the VGM and procedural generated content set for that player. But we will have the stories, the written stories we put into the game. Well, the world will be the same world for everybody. There's going to be plenty of side quests that'll be available for everybody with a ton of different options and a ton of different ways you can go about doing the side quests. We're trying to bring choice and scope and depth back to the RPG universe. And that's why we refer to the Wayward Realms as the Grand RPG. If you like collecting books, yeah, guess what? You got it. Collect some books in the Wayward Realms. And not only that, but the game world is going to be over 200,000 square kilometers, I believe is the number we're running with right now, kind of the size of the UK. And it's not quite high fantasy. It's like mid to low fantasy, but there's going to be magic in it. There's going to be monsters in it. The high fantasy will be there. It'll just be special when you encounter it. We have plenty of playable races, which I can list off for you. We've got, you know, your typical orcs, elves, which we have light elves and dark elves, dwarves, which the dwarves in our game are our favorite dwarves. They're seafaring dwarves, so super interesting dwarven vibe there. We have your humans with their different varying cultures and noble houses. We have goblins. You can play as a goblin, an ogre. And we also have Cambion and Fae as well. So there's going to be a couple new races that aren't, that you don't see too often in like the main chunk of playable races in RPGs. And all these races have a lot of lore to them. As I said earlier, we literally write recipes, and these are cookable recipes that you can make in real life if you have comparable ingredients in the game. We go back to the family trees and how far back they go.
Nice.
World events. So if you love the depth and the lore of Elder Scrolls, for example, you're going to feel right at home in the Wayward Realms. It's gonna be a change up in the RPG franchise. I don't want to toot our horn too hard here because, you know, we're not trying to be direct competitors to Bethesda at all. Like I work for Once Lost and I love Bethesda too, but we're just trying to give an option for people who love that style of game. And, you know, I would say that having the original Elder Scrolls creators on staff should kind of be an indicator of the type of game and type of quality you can expect. We have very, very talented people on staff. Currently, we're all volunteers because we're trying to push for publishing. We've considered crowdfunding and stuff like that, but we're not ruling that out per se. But we'd rather have people give us money for a product, right, that's finished, rather than just give us money for hopefully a product that gets finished. So our main push right now is to get publishing. We are making a lot of the progress. I would say a lot more progress than people would think. We have at least the first pass in all our preliminary systems. Our game world is beautiful right now. Nice. Even when I look at our gameplay.
Can you specifically speak, what engine are you guys using?
We're using Unreal 5, which is a great engine.
Oh, nice, dude. 5. Wow, oh, awesome. Yes.
And Unreal 5 has so many modules and stuff in there that it can do the work for you, but that's not what we're using it for. We're using it so that it can actually allow us another tool, another asset to make the world more in-depth and believable. But Unreal 5 is just an amazing engine. So we're not necessarily going for photorealistic graphics. We're going for stylized realism, which is the term we're using. But the world looks beautiful. It looks great. Okay. And our dialogue system also is going to be something that people who have played older Bethesda games would be excited for. So it's, you know, I'm trying to think of what I can say and what I can't say, because when I start talking about the game, I get excited, and then I realize, okay, maybe I should stop before I slip up and say something. But there's many noble houses in the game world, and there's some Game of Thrones vibes going on.
Okay, wow. Okay, that's a great nod.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can choose which house you want to align with, and you can actually see the changes in the game world depending on the choices you make. So I'm writing for a few noble houses, but one that I'll talk about is House Derekoth, who's a human noble house. Their territory is known as Mistmire, which is an ancient swampland with many mysteries and secrets and dangers awaiting for you to discover. Many people go into the mists and disappear trying to find treasure. And House Derekoth, they're an old house, but they've only recently gotten into wealth. They discovered out in the islands off the coast of their territory, there is a lot of gold. So they hurried up and they fortified this position. They try to control the area, and now they're kind of new rich. But there's a conspiracy going on there, because the old leader, High Lord of Derekoth, he fell off a balcony. He fell off and he died mysteriously.
Suspiciously.
A little weird. A lot of people think his son Octavian might have pushed him off to inherit the wealth. And the player can investigate this. They can choose who they want to side with. And I don't want to spoil too much here, but there's a lot of stuff the player can get their hands in that will totally change up how Derekoth is, how they're perceived in the world, and even their territory as well. And this is just one noble house. We have just as much depth for elven noble houses. We have light elves and dark elves. Our light elves live in the trees, and our dark elves are more cliff and cave dwelling. And there's an interesting dichotomy between those two as well. And the elves are aliens to our world, essentially. They don't come from space, but they come from another realm. I don't want to give too much away there either, but there's that situation where they're trying to adjust to this new world they find themselves in, right? While at the same time dealing with the threats of the old world. So there's a lot of mysteries in the game for the player to discover. So if you're someone that likes to wonder where the dwarves went in the Elder Scrolls, this game will be right up your alley. And I know the answer to where the dwarves went in the Elder Scrolls, by the way, which I can maybe say if people are interested in the chat, but the answer is probably going to bore you, because the real answer to where the dwarves went is nowhere. Oh, there was never an answer back then for where the dwarves went. They just wanted it to be mysterious. I'll say this though, Todd Howard, when he took over, he changed that up. So apparently the dwarves did go somewhere now. So who knows? You got to ask Todd for the new updated.
We'll see in Elder Scrolls, whatever. But yeah, I mean, okay, so it's Unreal Engine 5. We know that you guys are a small team. Is it in a playable state?
Yes and no. I'm trying to think of how I can phrase this. Yeah, we can get in there and we can get in the engine, and there's content for us to play and play test, right?
Okay.
But the world is so big that we're building it in chunks. So
gotcha.
We have a lot of the lore written for the entire world, but we're trying to build it in chunks. Now, we have the first and second passes for some of the systems like combat, magic, dialogue, and everything else already in the game. So we're just going back and building these systems up while also creating the rest of the world. Like I said, our focus right now is trying to get something so that we can get published, which will really kick off development. We're still all working hard, right? We meet multiple times a week. We're doing a lot of great progress, both in programming, art, writing. Our staff is super talented, which still amazes me how much talent we're able to get on a volunteer basis. But naturally, a lot of us also have other work we got to do to pay the bills.
Yeah.
But once we get publishing, that's going to just blow the top off, and things will just multiply and be a lot faster from that point forward. But I suppose, yes, it's in a playable state to a certain extent. But in terms of like, is the whole game finished and we're kind of testing it? No, we're not at that level yet.
Okay.
I'd say we're still alpha, early alpha, actually. The games like this take a long time to make, and we're trying to make sure that we don't make any of the mistakes maybe Bethesda or other studios have made with giant RPGs. We want everywhere you go to have just as much content and interesting stuff to discover as anywhere else. We don't want any empty holes of boringness in this game. But the game's massive, so naturally we're going to have there'll be certain fast travel systems that I want to get into. You could walk around the world manually. It would take you days to get from place to place if you chose to do that. But yeah, it's player choices are focus here, and it's going to be pretty amazing. I think I should cut my tongue real quick before I say something else. I'm looking at my...
Okay, so there is one other question that I have. I don't know if you can answer it. Obviously, please don't answer it if you can't. Has a platform been decided?
Yeah, so no, feel free to ask any questions you want. If I can answer something, then I'll just say it. But when I talk, my thoughts when I'm excited tend to go in multiple directions. So questions are a good way to get more concrete stuff out of me. But right now we're focusing on PC. Now that's not to say we're ruling out consoles. It's just not on our agenda at the moment.
You're building for PC, which is probably... I mean, that's standard fare anyway for games are built on a PC, usually for PC first.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, the infrastructure is easier there, and a lot of the game engines, it's easier to just create on the PC. Like, I think every game studio does that. I think it would be weird to not. Even console exclusives generally are built on a kind of a PC archetype first, and then switched over to the dev kits, and then from there, carry forward to the console. So we would like to do console. It's just we can't promise that at this point in time. But we're also going to be single player focused too. I don't know if I said that.
That's actually my next question, whether or not this is going to be an MMO or a single player story driven RPG. So now we know it's going to be single player. Again, obviously there's a lot of inner workings when it comes to development. Has the ID at Xbox program ever potentially been discussed about maybe reaching out to Chris Charla and the team and seeing if they could, if this game could get published through them?
We've discussed it. I've brought up that Game Pass would be an interesting thing for us to try to get on. But I think we want to have a really good slice to present to Xbox or publishing before we try to put our chips on either one table. Right now we're trying to make a good product first, and then from there we'll find the best place to put it. But I don't think we're aiming... I saw someone in chat say Sony exclusivity. I don't think we're going to be aiming specifically for console exclusivity, but it's too early really to tell right now. So All I can say is PC is going to be our main squeeze. If we could get on Game Pass, I'd be open to it, but that just depends on the state of how things are. We're probably probably around a couple, two, 3 years out from release, just ballparking it. So we still got a lot of time to let stuff cook. I'd be open to it for sure.
Well, listen, I appreciate you hanging out and giving us...
Boom.
What's that? Oh, you hear me now?
No, my speaker died. Give me a second.
Hang on. Well, listen, we'll let him work that out, and we'll get back to him in a hot second. I am thrilled to get this kind of information. Obviously, this is an Xbox program.
I got an audio thing. I got to plug something in here.
Yeah, don't worry about it, bro. That's all right.
Unplugged. One moment. All right, there we go. I should be able to hear you now.
All right, good. Welcome back, brother. Welcome back. I was saying, thank you so much for taking the time to give us the behind the scenes, skinny, if you will, of this game. Obviously, you're a big Bethesda fan, and to work with former members of Bethesda who are responsible for ultimately creating the Elder Scrolls must be a dream come true. But I do want to switch gears because we have about another 15, 20 minutes left. And I want to switch gears because I want to talk. I want to get your personal hot take opinion about Starfield. And the question I'm going to raise now, obviously, you've kept your ear to the floor. You saw what happened last week, the backlash that was Redfall at 30 frames per second. A lot of people, including myself, were a bit let down. Again, no one's throwing anybody under the bus. I am going to play it on day one. If I feel that I would rather wait for the patch, then I will wait for the patch and just put it down and play something else with, you know, because the game is going to be a great game. I mean, I've said it for weeks and weeks and weeks and even months. If you listen to this program, I am super high on what they're doing with Redfall. It looks incredibly interesting. And again, for me personally, I'm probably going to play through it in single player. And the fact that they recognize single players like myself, as well as fans who are going to play through it on multiplayer, is a testament to the studio at Arkane, right? They really do care about their games. Listen, it's 30 frames, folks. Play it or don't play it. What can I tell you? It's not the end of the world. But I was a bit let down. Now, this led Skullzy to a significant amount of speculation as to what's going to happen with Starfield. There are folks, and you know, we don't name names here, folks. That's not what we do here. That came out and said that if this game is 30 frames, they're not playing. Now, whether or not they're telling the truth or they're frustrated or whatever, this is where I have to stand strong and say that 30 frames on a game like Starfield should not matter. It is a story-driven game. It is a game that is going to be running in both first person and third person. I think that the story itself, Skullzy, and again, I'm just spitballing here, is going to be told using the environment. So the environment must look pristine. It's got to look appealing. It's got to be able, you need, as a player, you're going to need to be able to read the environment to help tell the story. Now, I'm going to get into this. And this is a game I'm going to put 3, 4, 5, maybe even 600 hours into. And there's a lot of concern, you know, troll concerning, of course, because that's what you see whenever Microsoft makes a boo-boo, the pitchforks come out and all the fake concern trolls come out of the woodworks, and we know that's what they do. I want to get your hot take on this. You know, they never said it was going to be 60 frames. I believe Todd Howard said he would be happy and thrilled that it ran in 30. He actually said that. He's got no problem with it running in 30. I think the game is going to come out at 30 FPS. I don't know if they have time or they have even considered performance mode versus quality, but a game like this, I would gladly play in 30. Now, there's going to be some folks in here, and again, it might be the concern trolls. Many of Sony's games, their first party bangers, as the kids say, that are story driven, over the shoulder, very graphical intense games, do mostly run in 30 frames. Some games do offer a 60 frame mode. There are some that even offered 120 frame mode. Where do you kind of sit on this, Skullzy? Like, you know, this is obviously a game that has been in development in Todd's mind for decades. It is a game that was supposed to release last year. It got delayed. And it was supposed to release earlier this year and got delayed again. They want this to be the best product they can put out. I have no doubt it is probably going to be the most played game of 2023. I think it's going to be one of the biggest selling games of 2023. And I think that after we get what I'm anticipating to be one of the biggest zeitgeist type of releases in a very long time for Xbox, that this is going to score well and is going to be talked about at the end of the year. Now, granted, folks, if I'm wrong, if this winds up becoming a shit show, I'll come out and say, yeah, folks, I was wrong. I hung out with Skullzy. I said it was going to be A, B, C, D, and Z. And I was wrong. No problem about being wrong. I'm wrong once a day and twice on Sundays. It's fine. But Skullzy, where do you, as a developer, kind of feel where the 30 versus 60 for Starfield matters? What camp are you in on this?
So, you know, I can get why some people say it matters, right? Some people just may be accustomed to the higher FPS, but at the end of the day, I don't think FPS breaks the game, really. Now, if we're talking about 20 FPS or less, then yeah, you're playing a slideshow almost, and that can get annoying. But 30 FPS is perfectly fine, in my opinion. I don't think it's going to... I think all the people saying they're going to skip Starfield if it's 30 FPS are just wanting to stand up and be loud for a few minutes about their opinion. I think they're going to play the game, right? I think that maybe there's a 0.001% of people that won't. But whether or not it's going to be 30 FPS or 60 FPS is hard to say. Todd has stated that he puts graphics as a priority and gameplay as a priority over frames per second. So with that statement, 60 FPS isn't going to be a prime focus for Bethesda Game Studios. If they can do it, they definitely will. But they'd rather give us a great game that looks great before they cut some corners just to get the game to run on a bit more frames. I think, though, that the chances for 60 FPS plus is there, because we haven't seen a game from Bethesda Game Studios on Creation Engine 2 yet. We just haven't, so we don't know what CE2 is capable of. If it's capable of doing a lot of the things that it's doing in Starfield, and it's capable of allowing vehicles to be utilized, which we really haven't seen before from Bethesda, at least not without kind of faking it in a bit. And at the same time, it feels weird saying this. And every time I say this, I feel like I'm wrong, but I'm right. This is the first real next-gen/current-gen, because it's been current-gen for a while, focused RPG from Bethesda Game Studios. We've gotten like Skyrim remasters and stuff like that, but we haven't had a full current/next-gen focused RPG from them. So that combined with Creation Engine 2, I would say lifts the potential percentage higher for a 60 FPS Starfield than any other previous game. I would still say, though, which is something I always like to say, don't get your hopes too high. Expect something reasonable, but hope for something more exciting. So expect 30 FPS for sure. But if we get 60 FPS, then you'll just be pleasantly surprised, right? Rather than if you were expecting 60 FPS and then it was 30 FPS, you might be disappointed. Don't set yourself up for disappointment. Personally, I don't understand why you'd be disappointed if it was 30 FPS, because the game offers so much in terms of just what the game is and its gameplay. And it's the first new IP in over 25 years from Bethesda. And I could just keep listing things like this. It's Todd Howard's dream game. It's their first current next gen RPG. There's so many things I could say that should be the focus, that FPS really shouldn't even be on the table, right? It's like you open the candy bar and you just knock the wrapper on the table or off the table into the trash. The FPS is the wrapper. Like you're talking about the wrapper of the candy bar when you're going to eat the candy bar anyway. I don't get it. I don't get the whole FPS pitchfork thing. But you know, everyone is entitled to their opinion and preferences. But yeah, just expect 30 FPS, but hope for 60. That being said, though, I still think it's going to be 60 or more. Just based on Creation Engine 2 and a lot of the work Bethesda has done on this engine. The reason it took so long to make Starfield is because they didn't want to rush through making this game engine. They didn't want to rush through upgrading Creation Engine 2, because that's how you get the Bethesda bugs that are basically known to be associated with all their projects. I think they kind of want to avoid having Starfield be memeable with the Bethesda bug rhetoric. So I'm hoping for 60 FPS and more, just because it's easier on the eyes. But man, I play a 30 FPS game, and after an hour, I don't even really think about it anymore. I don't even notice it. Yeah. It's just a game. Like I'm playing the game. I'm not thinking, man, this game would be much better if the frames were better. No, I'm playing the game at that point in time. It's off my mind. So yeah, I'm not a FPS aficionado, but I think people should just kind of not put that as the focus, because it's kind of silly.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like I said, I gave my answer and my opinions, which I thought were fair, about Redfall. I didn't dog the studio. I didn't dog Xbox. Some people accused me of doing so, and that's fine. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. Please, by all means, have yours. But I I give the smoke when I feel the smoke needs to be given. Not the only one. I'm not going to beat the subject again, because at this point it's done, it's passed. I'm more concerned about what happens next, and we know the 60 frame patch is coming for Redfall. It's fine. My opinion on Starfield needing 60. Me personally, I'd rather that game be graphically intense. I'd rather be able to look around and see a world that is delivered in a way that I've never seen Bethesda deliver a game before. If given the choice, folks, and there is a 60 frame mode, definitely, which we don't know if there is or there isn't, I would probably play it in 30, only because I appreciate the story that's going to be told through the environment. That's what I get excited about. So an RPG of this ilk, well, I'll probably play it 30, and that would be fine. But some people are going to want to play it in 60. If you have a monster rig, you don't have to worry, because you'll probably be able to play it in 60, maybe even at 120, depending on what your graphics card is. But I'll say this, folks. This was a fun episode. We got to talk a lot of heavy RPG talk in here. I threw in the last minute the 60 versus 30 for Bethesda conversation, because we do have Skullzy TV here. And if there's anyone that knows and has an affection for Bethesda, it's him. But I want to thank everybody that tuned in. Let me just make sure. I know I missed a super chat from Drawn TJ. Let me just grab that real quick. And Skullzy, listen, you know, while I look for that and get an update on the super chats that came in, do me a favor, brother. Sell your brand. Talk about Skullzy TV, what they can do to subscribe, where they could subscribe, and more importantly, where could people reach out to you on social media?
Well, definitely. I appreciate the invite again. Great to be here. If you're interested in Bethesda news, RPG stuff, you can check me out at youtube.com/Skullzy. Name of the channel is Skullzy TV. I haven't put out a video in a couple weeks, I think, because I've been focusing on Once Lost for a bit. We're trying to do a push there, but content is coming back this week, so don't worry. If you're interested in the Wayward Realms, you could check us out. We have a YouTube channel there as well, or www.oncelostgames.com. We have a few trailers out there. We might be showing something new here soon also, and you can follow me on Twitter at Skullzy TV, no space. So yeah, I'm always looking forward to talking about RPGs, Once Lost, and Bethesda stuff with anybody. And the last little plug, if anyone is interested in outdoors stuff, adventures and things like that, there's a channel called Aqua Chigger, which I might be in a couple of his videos here in a little bit. He's got over 1 million subscribers, super wholesome guy, hung out with him for the last couple of days. So yeah, I guess I'm showing up all over the internet this week.
No, hey, listen, brother, that's cool. You got a chance to actually work with former Bethesda developers that you created your channel based around, which is amazing. And you get to hang out with a YouTuber that you watch. That's freaking awesome, dude. That's a nutshelling, in my opinion. That's what being a fan is all about. But Drawn TJ drops a $5 super chat and says, bring back Dreadpool, because it's owned by Activision. Elder Scrolls 6 has co-op. I need it. I don't think that they own the rights to Dreadpool. Shout out to Dreadpool. To Deadpool. I think they licensed the IP. So maybe they could do that again. The old Deadpool game was pretty cool. I beat that both on the 360 and on the Xbox One. I enjoyed it so much. And Elder Scrolls 6 to have co-op, I say no. Personally, there's a co-op game right now you can go play called Elder Scrolls Online. I want standard single player, story driven, world building, character making, consequence type of a situation where when you make the wrong call, it sticks with your character, single player game. I as much as I appreciate multiplayer, I think a game like a new Fallout or like an Elder Scrolls should stay single player. Same way Starfield is going to stay a single player. So, Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We had well over 400 people here come to hang out on a small show that I actually was going to sunset, folks. I'm going to be honest with you. At the end of last year, numbers weren't so great. So I was like, well, you know, this is streaming 5 days a week is tough. And it turns out that you folks actually really like XVlog Live, the one-on-one type of content. Every now and again, when we have some monster breaking news that's industry changing, I'll bring in a couple of guests to help along with the conversation. But Skullsy, thanks so much for joining us, brother. A big shout out to the super chats that have come in today. We cannot do this channel without your help. And it was very kind of everyone to donate both the super chats and in the channel memberships. And of course, I'm going to close out the show, folks, with something that's important to me. Hopefully one day it'll be important to you. And that's something that my dad taught me when we were kids. And he would say, Craig, treat others how you want to be treated. And it doesn't cost anything to be nice. You live by those rules, son. I can guarantee you, you're going to have an awesome day. So take care, everyone. And we'll see you next week on the newest episode of XVlog Live.